Well, welcome everyone to our Christmas Eve service. My name is Pastor Chris. I'm one of the associate pastors here. If you are a visitor, we want to give a warm welcome to you as you can celebrate with us today. If you do not have a Bible, we actually have a gift for you today. Under one of the chairs in front of you is one of those blue Bibles. That is our gift to you. We strongly feel that everyone should have their own Bible, and so please, if you don't have one, take that, bring it home, use it. That is our gift to you. Now, speaking of gifts, this time of year is a special time for many people. It's a time of celebration, a time with family and friends, a time where you wake up early that Christmas morning, where you get to open up gifts. You get to watch your loved ones open up the gifts you gave them. Gift giving is really a big tradition, obviously, at Christmas time, but it's still really generally an act of love. It's really generally still an act of love. It expresses an affection towards someone. It can feel good, doesn't it, to give a gift to someone, to see their face kind of light up when they open it? But is it only the act of giving that expresses love? Is it only the gift itself that expresses love? Or is there something more to the gift or the circumstances surrounding the giving of the gift that expresses not just love, but a great love? Well, today I want to explore this idea from the pages of Scripture as we think about Christmas. And to do this, we're going to look at a few different passages, but I'm going to open our time by reading Isaiah 9:6 again. Isaiah 9:6. Now, again, in that blue Bible in front of you, that's on page 331, if you wanted to follow along. But Isaiah 9:6 says this, the word of the Lord says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, Lord, we thank you for this time of year. What a gracious reminder of how you sent your Son to die for us, Lord God. I pray that you would stir our hearts a greater love and devotion to you at this time of year, Lord. I pray that you would bless the families that are represented here, Lord God. And I humbly ask, Lord, give me clarity to convey what you have called me to preach today, for your glory and their good. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our passage starts by saying, "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given." A son is given. And at this time of year, again, we are reminded of how God gave his Son to us. He gifted to us Jesus Christ, his Son. And there are 4 points, now don't worry, they're short points, that I'm going to walk through, that I want to draw attention to in giving a gift that really showcases great love, and we find them here in Scripture. And the first is this: great love is expressed in the value of the gift. Great love is expressed in the value of the gift. Now, we can all imagine, you know, finding that priceless work of art at that antique shop, you know, probably everyone's dream, you know, finding that Rembrandt painting or that sketch from Leonardo da Vinci, you know, simply priceless, you know. And in great excitement, you go and you buy that and you bring that home. And then, in an act of great love, you gift that to someone you care about. You give that painting, that sketch of utmost value to that special someone. Now tell me, what does that say about how you think and feel about that person you give that to? This is not something you would just give to anyone. And think for a moment, how would you feel if you received such a gift? What would your thoughts be of that person? How special would that person become to you? You experience their great love for you. See, the value of a gift is inherent in the gift. Sure, you know, we give personal value to some gifts over others. You know, candy is a great personal value to a child, maybe big children as well. But intrinsic value is objective and tangible to everyone. A diamond necklace has a more intrinsic value than a plastic necklace. And Christ is intrinsically more valuable than anything in all creation. His value is beyond comprehension. Colossians 2:9 says, "In him all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form." Matthew 1:22 and 23 says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. It is without question that there is no being of more value, of more worth, than the creator of the universe. And Scripture says in Colossians 1:16 and 17, "For by him," that is Jesus, "all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Jesus is unlike anyone else. He healed the sick, he cast out demons, he walked on water, he even raised the dead. And the Father gave this valuable gift, Jesus himself, to us. The value of Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, is immeasurable. And so we first see that great love is expressed in the value of the gift given. Second, we see great love is expressed in giving a gift to the unworthy. In giving a gift to the unworthy. And what do I mean by this? And this is a hard one, right? We all struggle with this, but you know, you plan on doing something nice for someone, maybe get them a gift, and then something happens, right? They lash out at you, they hurt you, and what are your immediate thoughts? Well, I'm not going to do that for them now. I'm not going to give them that gift now. But can you imagine if you exploded on someone, right? You yelled and you mistreated that someone, and then they turned around and gave you a gift still. They went out of their way to do something nice for you. What would that say about their love for you? Do you deserve the gift? No. But it demonstrates a great love they have for you. You know, it's funny how we often tie worthiness to getting the gift, right? There must be some reason, something about me that made them want to give me this gift, you know? In some ways, we do think we're worthy, don't we? I do good things. I don't go out of my way to hurt people. I'm not like that guy. Did you hear what that guy said? But worthiness or righteousness of someone is not determined by comparing yourself to each other, but to God. It's like comparing a bunch of sheep that's kind of on a grassy field. Yeah, they look pretty white against that backdrop of green, but then it starts to snow, and the snow blankets the ground, the field, and now you look at those sheep and you say, yeah, they don't look too white anymore against that backdrop of the white snow. See, against the backdrop of God, we are unworthy. Not because, you know, you ate that sinfully good cookie, or because you forgot to pick up the turkey for Christmas dinner. Sorry, honey. But because we have all sinned against God. In our hearts, we all know we are unworthy. The Bible calls that we're sinners. You know, if asked, are you a perfect person? I suspect every single one of us would say no. Right? We know there is something called perfection, and we don't measure up to that. Our hearts are not right before a perfect God. Jesus says in Mark 7:20-23, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." To elaborate on this point, who hasn't lied before? Maybe many times before, for many different reasons. Maybe to get yourself out of trouble, maybe about picking up that turkey. But Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord." Who hasn't stolen something? Maybe it wasn't from a store, but perhaps you left work early and the company was still paying you. Maybe you cheated on that test. Maybe you downloaded something that was illegal on the internet. You stole time, you stole answers, or you stole data. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10 says that thieves will not inherit the kingdom of God. Or perhaps you haven't cared about who God is, or what he has said. Life has all been about you, what you think, what you want, forgetting that God, in his grace, has given you strength, eyesight, a functioning brain, all to glorify him, but we've made it all about ourselves. See, at the heart of sin is breaking the two great commandments, to love God and to love each other. But our thoughts and our words and actions show that we are unworthy recipients of this great gift. But God still gave his infinite and holy, valuable Son to us. What an expression of great love, isn't it? Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So our second point that expresses one's great love is seen in giving a gift to an unworthy recipient. And the third point is this: great love is expressed in the need that is met in the gift. Great love is expressed in the need that is met in the gift. You know, I had a friend a number of years ago, and he needed a kidney. You know, his life was in danger. He had a very great need. Another person I knew who loved and cared for my friend came alongside him and gave up one of their kidneys to save my friend's life. This is an example of meeting someone's great need. My friend will always be thankful to this person for sacrificing so much to meet such a desperate need of his. We all have needs, don't we? Maybe not as great as my friend here, but we do. I think sometimes we confuse our needs with our wants and our desires, right? I need that new outfit. I need those new shoes. I need, you know, fill in the blank, whatever. But sometimes they are real needs, right? We need food. We need clothes. And like my friend, perhaps a new kidney. What is our pressing? What is the most pressing need? What is our greatest need? What is the most important need over all other needs, a need that everyone has? Now, it would be logical to conclude that our greatest need is one that satisfies our greatest dilemma, right? Our greatest need is one that satisfies our greatest dilemma. Food is a need. We do need to eat. And I'll be honest, some of you will probably eat too much this time of year. But being satisfied with food is not the greatest need. Why? Because you will be hungry again. Clothing is a need. I think we all agree that we need clothes and are happy and thankful for them. But even clothes will wear out. They may not fit after this season, and so we will need new clothes. It is a need, but it's not the greatest need. My friend had a great need, a need that saved his life, but the reality is he will still die someday. So though it was a great need, a need that extended his life, it did not extend his life indefinitely. It is not the greatest need. Our greatest dilemma is that we are at enmity with God. Scripture says that apart from any grace of God, from God, we are enemies of God. And so if our greatest dilemma is that we are at enmity with God because we are sinners, which results in separation from God and his goodness for all eternity, landing us in hell, a dilemma which transcends not just the here and now, but extends into eternity, then our greatest need would be something that doesn't separate us from God, but brings us back to God. something that would deliver us from hell and the punishment that comes because of our sins, something that clothes us with righteousness, a food that eternally satisfies. Our greatest need is to be reconciled to God, to have peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins. And this is the gift that God offers. This is why Jesus came. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus pays the penalty for sin on that cross and extends grace and mercy to all those who respond in repentance and faith. Forgiveness of sins and peace with God is possible for all those who call upon him. The most famous and beloved verse in Scripture, John 3:16, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God gave his Son so we might not perish, but have eternal life. God gave his Son to meet our greatest need. And so, a gift that expresses great love is a gift that first has value tied to it. Second, the recipient is shown to be unworthy. And third, it meets a great need. And finally, great love is expressed by a sacrifice made to give that gift. Great love is expressed by the sacrifice made to give that gift. I'm sure many of you have sacrificed at this time of year. You've braved those stores, you spent hard-earned money, worked hard to prepare those meals, maybe without that turkey again, sorry, honey. And you know, the greater the sacrifice, the greater the expression of love, isn't it? You can think of that person I knew who sacrificed their kidney for my friend. Great sacrifice, great love, isn't it? Or you can think of that someone who pays that ultimate price, gives up his life to save a friend. That soldier who jumps on that grenade to save his fellow soldiers. His gift is that his fellow soldiers will get to go home to see their loved ones. He's paid the ultimate sacrifice. He's a hero. He's forever remembered. He is forever loved. And what if, though, what if there was a sacrifice even greater than that? A sacrifice of one giving up their lives, yes, but also taking an eternal punishment for another. You see, the ultimate expression of sacrifice is found in Jesus Christ. He would enter this world so that he could die for sinners. He would come to take the wrath of God for sin and give up his life as a ransom for many. It's why Jesus is forever remembered, forever loved. 1 John 4:10 says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And Hebrews 9:28 says, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. See, God gave the ultimate gift in Jesus for us. See, love is expressed in giving a gift. Love is expressed in the value of a gift, the unworthiness of the recipient of the gift, the need that is met by the gift, and the sacrifice made for the gift. And the greater the value of the gift, the greater the expression of love. The greater the unworthiness of the recipient, the greater the expression of love. The greater the need that is met, the greater the expression of love. And the greater the sacrifice, the greater the expression of love. At this time of year, as you open gifts with cherished family and friends, remember what God did. He gave the most infinitely valuable gift, his Son, to those who are infinitely unworthy sinners, to make the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus dying, taking the wrath of God, to meet our greatest need, forgiveness and peace with God. There can never be a greater gift, a greater expression of love. The ultimate gift given is Jesus Christ. It started with his birth. A child was born, a son is given. And it culminated in his sacrifice on the cross at Easter. See, Jesus would be betrayed, he would be mocked, he would be beaten, and he would go to that cross. And on it, God the Father would pour out his punishment for sin upon Jesus. Jesus would give up his life, and 3 days later, he would pick that life up again triumphantly. He would rise from the dead, showing the world that his sacrifice for sin was acceptable, accepted by the Father. See, death could not keep this innocent and righteous man down. What started at Christmas ended with Easter. And this wasn't cosmic child abuse. Jesus freely, lovingly went to the cross because he loved the Father and he loved you. Scripture says he in Hebrews 12, 2, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And now God is calling all people to turn from their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus. Where forgiveness of sins is granted, peace with God is experienced, and eternal life begins. Amen? So what expresses great love in a gift? What expresses the greatest love in the greatest gift? God gave to sinners the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, to meet our greatest need, forgiveness of sins. God gave to sinners the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, to meet our greatest need, forgiveness of sins. You know, this gift is available to everyone. And you don't need to wait till Christmas morning to receive it. He offers himself all year long, but have you received this gift? It's a free gift. When one repents and turns from sin and to Christ and puts their faith in Christ to save them, God forgives them, he embraces them, he transforms them, he clothes them in righteousness, he satisfies their longing heart and gifts them peace and everlasting life with him. God gave the most valuable gift to those who are unworthy to make the greatest sacrifice to meet our greatest need. Isaiah 9, 6, 7 says this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we are so grateful for your great gift in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this time of year where we can remember and reflect on this great sacrifice, this great gift given to us, Lord. I pray, bless all the families represented here, Lord. I pray that you would be with them and they would be able to celebrate time together, but they would reflect on this great sacrifice, Lord God. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Bless this time, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing together, Silent Night?